Hi, this is Mike Maduda, and you're listening to the ZFM Sports Podcast.
Z.
Nice, Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
ZFM Sport on a Friday, and it is my distinct pleasure to remind you that the international break is over.
Yes.
Our producer is Sean Tafirinyika, and he's named a different lineup for tonight's fixture. Barry and Mike on the bench. In the studio tonight, we've got Simba Pupajena, Alois Bunjira. My name is Chris Midzi. On the home front tonight, action on match day 29 of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League kicked off this afternoon, but the headlining fixture will be at Barberfields, where Highlanders will be hoping to finally end their 8-year winless streak against FC Platinum. In Around the World in 60, we have updates from Australia, Singapore, and the United States. Second half of the show, like I said, international break is over and the big leagues are back. The Premier League returns following that international break with a blockbuster North London derby tomorrow afternoon as Arsenal play host to Tottenham Hotspur at the Emirates. And then on Sunday, it'll be the return of the Manchester derby at the Etihad. In Italy, potential Scudetto rivals Inter Milan and Roma meet tomorrow night as they resume their Serie A campaigns with a heavyweight encounter at the San Siro. And in the Bundesliga, Bayern Munich will seek to get back to winning ways when they take on Bayer Leverkusen at the Allianz Arena tonight.
Hi, my name is Sean Williams, Zimbabwe cricket captain. You're listening to ZFM Sport.
Z.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
Of course, let's start with that local sports news roundup, starting with cricket, where the Pro 50 Championship will get Zimbabwe's cricket 2022-2023 domestic season underway this weekend. In the opening matches of the men's provincial one-day competition, Eagles will host the Tuskers at Odararian Sports Club, while Southern Rocks will take on Rhinos at Mashingo Sports Club tomorrow. The same sides will face each other again at the same venue on Monday. The Mountaineers will also start the defense of their Pro 50 Championship title next Friday when they visit Rhinos at Quaker Sports Club, with the other two teams completing their back-to-back fixtures on the following Monday. Across to swimming, Bulawayo Amateur Swimming Association is set to host its second swimming gala at the Bulawayo Municipality Swimming Pool as they prepare for regional competitions. The event, like the first one, will be held under the floodlights at the city's ceremonial home of swimming and will have swimmers from five different teams. The teams are the Penguins Club, School of Swimming, Stingrays Swimming Academy, the Falcon Swimming Academy, and affiliated Crusaders Swimmers. In bodybuilding, after doing well by scooping the gold medal in the Men's Fitness Open at the Mr. Mfakose bodybuilding contest a few weeks ago, bodybuilder Francois Nyashanu has since shifted focus to the Marume Classic set for tomorrow at Zimbabwe College of Music. The 31-year-old Budiriro-based athlete managed to beat more than seven contestants at the last contest held at Rutendo Hall last month. Nyashanu is now targeting the National Federation of Zimbabwe Bodybuilding and Fitness event that would earn athletes the right to contest at the national championships. And no, we're not going to get into a debate about whether bodybuilding is actually a sport. And just a quick one here, the Harare Rugby Province is going to be presenting the Paramount Garment 7th tournament tomorrow at Harare Sports Club. So if you want to watch some rugby action, Harare Sports Club is the place to be. The men's teams, Harare Sports Club, Mabuku, Police Defenders, Harare Select, or Georgians, Zimburu, Northern Chiefs, Glenwood Stars, Odararian Spitbulls, University of Zimbabwe and Air Force. And then the women's teams that are going to be taking part are Glenwood Stars, Harare Sports Club, Heathcliff, Old Georgians, Spitbulls, Police Defenders, University of Zimbabwe and the Zimburu. So it's nice to see that all these men's teams also have the ladies' sides on their roster.
Hi, my name is Runi Shamba, my Toria's super striker. You're listening to ZFM Sport.
From Rufaro to Barberfields, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
Let's get into the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. But first, a message has just caught my eye. Our WhatsApp number 0731 168 045. This message is from DJ Bongs. He simply says, can't wait to enjoy the matches this weekend, provided there's electricity. And the action is back, but your electricity might not be.
Go to where they got generator, my brother.
Highlanders will be hoping to finally end their 8-year winless streak against FC Platinum when the two teams clash at Barberfields on Sunday afternoon. The last meeting between the two clubs was an ill-fated tie in April at Mandava Stadium, which is abandoned with FC Platinum leading 1-0. The match was later awarded to the home side on a 3-0 scoreline after the Bosso fans were found guilty of pitch invasion when protesting a penalty decision to the hosts. While pride will be at stake for Bosso as they hunt for a top four finish, FC Platinum will be out to cement their top position on the way to a fourth consecutive league title under coach Norman Mapeza. Bosso coach Jose Brito, who took over Highlanders midway in the season, says his team is targeting a top four finish as they build a team that could challenge for the league title next season.
Deram seu melhor e jogaram vários jogos. É nesse processo que nós pensamos e que vamos continuar.
Till the end of the season, everyone, we of course we go to every game with the expectations of winning every game. And this makes part of the process too, because if you don't have character, if you don't have the wishing inside of you for winning the game, you can't belong to Islanders as a player. So even as a process, doesn't make any sense if we say to yours we are doing a process and from this season to the next season we change 20 players. This is not a process. So from this season to the next season we'll change 2-3 players, which ones that we think can make a update in our team to be better. We'll play, who fights, who train well, who goes to the games with the spirit that the Islander supporters like, and try to conquer the 3 points in every game.
Sims, some good things coming out of Jose Brito there. First of all, that there's targets in place. First target, that they want to complete a top four finish. And if you're aiming to complete a top four finish, one of those teams that shows us that you're on a different trajectory is obviously competing and beating FC Platinum.
Absolutely. I guess the old adage is that you can only beat the team that are put in front of you. This one is a heavyweight team that's been put in front of you. Going into it, form-wise, both teams, I think in the last five encounters that they've faced different opposition and beaten. So Highlanders would definitely be fancying their chances. I like the fighting talk that's coming out of the Bosso camp, also considering that they're also, I think, unbeaten in Barberfield since Brito took over. Mm-hmm. So he's got every right to be feeling sort of that way. They've got the momentum in their favor. But also on the other end, when Norman Mapeza has the bit between his teeth and he's gunning for that finishing line, it becomes a really different story. But if they are to take any sort of points from this, I think with what he was also mentioning in terms of building for the future, this then sets them in good stead even for next season in terms of building blocks.
So when you talk about those building blocks, Alois, he talks about the fact that there has to be continuity, that from this season to the next season, if they have those hopes and aspirations of taking the league, there needs to be consistency. That's in terms of the players as well. And it's good that he mentioned that, because I think at Highlanders there's been a lot of inconsistency since the last time that they won against FC Platinum, which is 8 years ago. They've had several coaches: Calvin Kaindu, Bongani Mafu, Errol Akbai, Aminiso Mapiri, Madinda Ndlovu, Peter De Jong, Mandla Mpofu most recently. And here's someone who's talking about continuity, which is what Highlanders need. What for you would be the most important thing going into this match, talking about that continuity for the players and also mentality as they finish the season?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is what Simba said about beating FC Platinum. You know, they've got ambitions to win the league next season, and here is the champions in waiting that they are playing against. So already they're gauging themselves. Obviously, if they don't win, they can give a good account of themselves in this game, knowing that we will beef up a little bit next year, not changing 20 players. You said it, they are not going to be changing 20 players. So already we have been told that they are on a good trajectory and they are not going to be changing much. They are plugging in gaps. I said it the other day, that's what a team like Highlanders, Dynamos, Cape United, top teams in the league should do. They only need to groom a few players, plug in the holes, and keep on going, continuing. You need to build a culture at a club. You cannot brag about signing 15, 20 players in one off-season window and say, we did well in the transfer market. That's atrocious for me. I don't understand how a top-flight team can do that. So here is a professional coach. Mm-hmm. You know, we all know where he's coming from. He's already giving us something. That's why I've always said we need coaches like this in our league. Not just him. We want more. We want maybe 3-4 more to come into our league. They bring something. Now we are learning from him. You know, it's something that you can actually... No, you need continuity. You need to build your team slowly. Mm-hmm. Don't expect results very early. Bring in youngsters. You always need energy. And he has done that. He is mixing experience with energy. 90, and yeah. You can actually feel that Highlanders, I've said it, Highlanders, next season, he is echoing my sentiments as well, that they are targeting next season. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I don't support the Highlanders. I'm a football fan. I believe Highlanders... I'll put my money on Highlanders for next season.
So, under Brito, Highlanders have played 11 games, winning 6, 4 draws, and they've lost 1. So, they've come from basically the relegation zone, Sean.
Yeah.
And they're now gunning for a top 4 finish. But what would you say is a chink in the armor that might just either expose them or be to their detriment going into this match against FC Platinum?
I guess at the moment, sometimes it just has to do with a lack of concentration that sometimes slips in when you have a new coach who's trying to impart his new instructions. But this hasn't really happened in the league so far, but it happened, of course, in the Chibuku Super Cup.
Yeah.
And Simba mentioned it earlier that in terms of form at the moment, right now Highlanders and FC Platinum, they are the two form teams. Highlanders scoring 9 goals and conceding 5 times, and if you take a look at that same period, FC Platinum have scored 6 times and have only conceded once. So they're also finding the back of the net as well. And I guess right now, just those discrepancies where sometimes the team can be found wanting tactically. Mm-hmm. They are not playing the entire 90 minutes. They do have dips in concentration here and there. Mm-hmm. But on the whole, the signs look positive. And it's always, we always talk about it, when you take a look at a team, the progress doesn't start when the new season begins.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
always indicative from the previous season. Yeah. And I think this is the season that is forming the foundation of what should be a really good season for Highlanders next year. My only hope is that the management doesn't do any trigger happy things and then, you know, disrupt this project, because the signs are definitely looking good for Highlanders.
And that number again, 0731-168-045. But there is another team on the other side of this card, that's FC Platinum. Let's also get the pre-match thoughts of the FC Platinum coach, Norman Mapeza.
Look, we don't want violence at the end of the day. That's what we really don't want to see in our football. You know, let the best team of the day win. You know, for us, we'll just go there and play our normal game. We don't have to change because of our position and whatsoever. We just need to go there and play our normal game, like what they've been doing in all the matches they've been playing. You know, each and every game demands a certain way of football. But for us, we will never change. We'll keep playing our normal game. Then we'll see what happens come Sunday, end of the day.
Simba, they've won it 2017, 18, 19, before COVID and after COVID. Mm-hmm. They continue to win the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League. it's a matter of time before they win this title as well. And I love what Norman Mapeza is saying in terms of we don't change who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think the signature with FC Platinum has been FC Platinum has a way that they play.
Mm-hmm.
They're now coming up against a Highlanders that now also has a way that they play. Where is this match won for you?
I think in defense. In defense, and I think where when Sean was rattling off the statistics, what came out is that in these previous five, I think it's what, conceded once for FC Platinum?
Yeah.
That for me is the telling thing, because you're going away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And with the cushion that they've got in the league, they're not necessarily needing to win
this particular match. Yeah.
Avoid defeat, they still, you know, all these teams behind them, Dynamos and Chicken Inn, still need to really put on like an almost perfect run in to, you know, be in with a shout. So the pressure is less on him. And when he says, it sounds contradictory when he starts to say each team demands a certain style of attacking it or whatever, but we are FC Platinum. We don't. Because over those 4 or 5 years, they haven't had any particular team that has bothered them consistently enough for them to warrant to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
The other teams have been trying to figure out and they've been changing coaches, but he's stuck to his guns. It's a style of play that even at the beginning of the season, where I think it was Dynamos that was heading, and he had some really choice wins. And now, unfortunately for Dynamos, he's now being proven right that his methods so far are proving to be okay. But it's the first time I believe he'll be in the league facing Brito.
Yes.
I'm wondering if Brito stays for another 2 or so seasons, could this then become a sort of rival that maybe causes them to adjust once in a while? But if Brito is not knocking on that door, then yeah, I can come in, take a draw, and just move on.
And generally, I don't want to use the word rivalry, but it almost has that feel to it, especially given the Shushava Niblawa, your divide. And Highlanders, over the few years, has been that team that has actually caused some trouble for FC Platinum. I know that they haven't won, yes, but they actually play. I don't think they are really hampered by that psychological edge that FC Platinum seems to come to game with, where teams just naturally then want to fall back because, like, we're playing FC Platinum. Highlanders play more fearlessly against FC Platinum, and I think that only stays them in, that only puts them in good stead. So if they do that with their new approach, the new structure that they have, and the free flowing football they're playing now, I think they have a legitimate chance here of taking all 3 points against FC Platinum at Bubblefield.
You see, the danger that Highlanders is now posing to the rest of the Premier Soccer League teams, especially from next year, I actually think that teams need to be very, very afraid of Highlanders. Why? Because Highlanders are back to taking over Blauayo. Matabeleland.
Yeah.
They are now the most attractive team in Blauayo. Again, that's what they used to do. That's how they used to win. The best talent in Matabeleland wanted to play for Highlanders. Now they are filling this. The fans are filling the stadium. There's the aura. The Blauayo is now buzzing because of Highlanders. Now every youngster wants to play for Highlanders, so they can just cherry pick the best players in Blauayo. They've got the money now. Chigenin cannot boast now. Chigenin were winning. They're taking the players because they have the money. So now Highlanders have got the money, and they've got the attraction, and they've got everything that is going for them. So I'm telling you, Highlanders are going to be very, very dangerous. I see the olden days in Blauayo, Chilamoya back.
Yeah.
Your WhatsApps are coming through. This one says, it's from Tawanda in Kwadzana. He says, Alois, I think FC Platinum has set the consistent bar so high that I don't think any team can challenge them right now. Maybe at least after Mapeza leaves. When Mapeza leaves, that's when and only when we can judge how good their system is. The system belongs to the coach, no?
Yeah, the system belongs to the coach. But I still think that Nomara is a very good coach. FC Platinum, they've done their business very well. You know, I think they got it right when they changed their personnel, when they got rid of the older guys and brought in. I think the timing was so perfect. The other teams didn't get the trick. I still believe that the teams that are playing against FC Platinum have not gotten the trick. They need to find structures that can actually, that's what Highlanders is now doing. Highlanders is going back there. That's why Highlanders can now challenge, because they've gone back to the roots where they know. Imagine if Caps United were going back to their roots, Glenora, taking all the talent in Glenora, Highfield, and all, it's theirs. And they are
If they were doing that, Dynamo was doing all the Mbare thing. But they are not doing it. They're just going all over the place.
Another message comes from Wayne from Mutare. Boso Yaka Nofa 2-1, pure platinum play. And that is going to be an incredible victory going out to Barberfield, which is a very different place to go. Let's jump into the next match. But just before that, there was a match played today. First match of the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League this weekend. Tenex was taking on Yada and they won 1-0. Great win for Tenex as they are sitting in a very uncomfortable log position. Let's get to the next one. Cavs United fans anxious about the team's future and the possibility of relegation looming large. Coach Lloyd Chitembwe insists that his side is in control of its destiny as he seeks to end a four-match winless streak when they face Triangle on Sunday. Last week, Chitembwe endured a welter of criticism after the Green Machine failed to win for the fourth time in a row. Incredibly uncomfortable situation, Sims, that Caps United finds themselves in. Caps United is one of the biggest teams, one of the most successful teams in our league, but unfortunately they're teetering just above the relegation zone and hoping that the teams below them manage to get their wins so that they stay in the Premier Soccer League. This is an incredibly problematic situation, and I know fans are angry with Lloyd Chitembwe, but this doesn't solely rest on his shoulders.
No. I think he's actually been put in a position where he's having to play a buffer between the fans, between the players, and between the owners and management of the club.
Yeah.
So he's the one that at the end of the match is having to field friendly fire sometimes with the fans directly. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen the footage. Sometimes you've got Charlie Jones there. At least they're putting on a sort of united front. But the fact of the matter is, we live and die on whatever results he's being putting in place. But it's difficult to then pin, like you're saying, everything on him if he's having to motivate during the week players that have not been paid, that are uncertain about their future and things like that. So maybe kudos should actually come to him for actually managing in these difficult circumstances when he doesn't really have much sway in terms of how the rest of those inputting measures are being put in place for him. So difficult times for him. But in terms of, I think there's an element of sensationalism. I do get the fact that it's Caps United that is also in unfamiliar territory. Mm. But it's a 6-point buffer. Out of 10X and the two city council teams that are in that relegation zone, which of those three, realistically, are we saying, yes, the run-in is probably harder for Caps United, but they also have the pedigree to maybe better do it? Of those three teams, which ones are we looking at and thinking they've got a better chance of actually playing out, clawing that 6 points, and maybe based on goal difference even overcoming it? So I think right now it's just a matter of, if they match the results of those three teams below them, they're safe. And with each passing week, the gap for those ones to actually catch up actually gets narrower.
So Lloyd Chitembwe earlier said that his team is going to approach this triangle match with aggression and they want to collect maximum points. Alois, this is a triangle side that's high on confidence. When they met earlier in the season, triangle managed to get that win. Is this the correct approach, or should Lloyd Chitembwe be looking more to just ensure that they defend well enough and potentially just pick up the single point?
I think what he said is what he's supposed to be saying in every match. They need to be aggressive and want to collect points for every match. So they should be going on in the next match doing exactly that. But I still believe that these are anxious moments for Caps United. You know, as much as Simba said that only three teams cannot catch them, but there's Tenex. Tenex are only 3 points behind them.
And they've got
one game less. Remember, they've got one game less. So if they win their game in hand, they're tied on points. So it's not looking good. And there's also ZPC Kariba. They're fighting with ZPC Kariba. But so it's those three teams, one of them might sink out of the three. And it's crazy out there.
Yeah.
And for Caps United to be in this situation, it's not good.
And the thing with Tenex is that Tenex has two straight wins now, and look like they've turned
the momentum. So it's not right. They've been there before. Caps United have been there before. They won the vibes with
all don't remind us.
And Caps United fans know exactly how it feels, and they don't want to get there. They pray maybe if they win against Triangle, it's a breather.
I hope that they go all out, gung ho, for this win, because those three points are going to go.
Even if you're not
a
Caps United fan, just seeing Caps United in this position is very uncomfortable.
It's awkward.
I get that. I think where the bigger fear is that if, heaven forbid, the worst happens, it's then not managed well enough for us to then be cocky enough to say they'll bounce back based on that.
Yes,
could then just be the absolute shambles and everything then goes.
Especially if it goes down to the last, let's say, two or the last game.
You
of the
don't,
season.
Because
you
don't we've seen the nerves that have happened when we were actually in a winning position, needing a win on the last one to win the league, failed it and bottled it.
You see, some of it for me, I don't want. I'm a Caps United fan. I don't want them to go down. But somehow, somewhere, I think there's some blessing in disguise that is happening for them to be in that situation. It's kind of like a wake up call, guys.
Because it hasn't been managed.
Football
well.
Needs to be managed well. Yeah. Mm. Football clubs need to be run well. Mm. Football clubs need to have the right structures that are aimed for success. You don't just shoot in the dark and just aim. Sometimes you shoot, you do get hit the target, but it's not sustainable. Yeah. We want our clubs to be run the correct way. That I don't want to go back and keep saying the olden ways. No, the way the others are doing it professionally in the other side of the world. Let's do things properly. So they are in there. Then it's a wake up call. I'm happy that they are in there. They must survive, but it must be a lesson.
Let's give you the rest of your Castle Lager Premier Soccer League Match Day 29 fixtures. Black Rhinos takes on Harare City at Wengere Stadium. Ngezi Platinum Stars will be up against ZPC Kariba at the Baobab. Herentals College versus Cranbourne Bullets. That's at the National Sports Stadium. Bulawayo City versus Chicken Inn at Barber Fields. Wawa takes on Bulawayo at Ascot. And those are all your matches tomorrow. On Sunday, Highlanders takes on FC Platinum at Barber Fields. It's going to be a packed stadium tomorrow. That's at 3 p.m. Manica Diamonds versus Dynamos at Sakuba Stadium. And Caps United playing for their lives at the National Sports Stadium on Sunday.
Hi, this is Alexandra Maseko, and I'm the national basketball team captain, and you're listening to ZFM Sport.
Z, around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We tip off in Australia, where Team USA booked their spot in the FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup Final with a convincing 83-43 win over Canada this morning. Brianna Stewart led the charge with 17 points, 8 rebounds and 3 assists, while Aja Wilson added 15 points and 12 rebounds. Team USA will take on China, who beats the host Australia 61-59 in a thrilling semi-final in Sydney. In Singapore, Max Verstappen said he would need a dose of luck to wrap up a second successful Formula One title in Sunday's Singapore Grand Prix, with the Red Bull racer feeling next week's race in Japan offered him a more realistic championship slot. The Dutchman, who turned 25 today, is 116 points. Imagine that. Clear of Ferrari rival Charles Leclerc and 125 ahead of Red Bull teammate Sergio Perez. He will be crowned champion in Singapore if he can leave with at least a 138 point margin to his closest challenger, with only 5 races left after Sunday's floodlit Marina Bay Spectacular. Sims, we have been seeing a resurgence in Formula One. We've been seeing a lot more excitement. We saw it last season. But if Max is making another charge to the finish line, and it doesn't really look like anybody else is really coming to the party, 116 point gap, those are huge gaps. Last season was a point on the final day. This takes a little something away from the spectacular that is Formula One.
It would be justified to be seen as a blip. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, last season, right down to a few corners, and just won't go back into that because BP has started, right? But when you look at this one, a lot of bungling from Ferrari has actually caused this to be what it is. When you look at how many podiums Ferrari actually have, it shows you that there's something about the team. It's just on the race day that things are being messed up. And then you also look at the resurgence of Lewis Hamilton and his team. So for argument's sake, next season should have at least those three actually pitting it out, and we haven't had that for the longest time. When Lewis was stringing the similar sort of things, maybe not 116 with maybe 5 or so Grand Prix to go, that didn't even look, you couldn't even look at any other team and think, they'll always wrap up the constructors as soon as he's wrapped up the title. So that for me was boy. The new structure is actually a lot more exciting, plus more races coming in the next calendar year. So I think the opportunity for him to do this, this is the once off. I don't think it's going to be maintained like this.
And also starting in the United States, where Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa sustained a neck and head injuries and was stretched off the field during their 27-15 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals early this morning. Tagovailoa was sacked by the Bengals defensive end Josh Tupu with about 6 minutes left in the first half. He remained motionless on the ground for 7 minutes in hugely concerning scenes before being carted off the field. Headlining game week 4 of the NFL, we'll see Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers visit Arrowhead Stadium to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0731 168 045, or if you're on the socials at ZFM Sport. This first message: hey guys, you're the best. It's Ruben from Kwabulawayo. Sunday blockbuster match at BF Iboso will win the match. You guys, 2-1. That's real from Bulawayo. It's a, it's an
similar score lines coming out.
Yeah, similar score lines. It's all pretty close.
Yep.
this one, Elboka Inyazura. Hansi, I have a question for Alois. What are your thoughts on bringing in foreign football administrators as well?
I agree. I agree with that. We need some clubs to bring in a foreign CEO. You know, South Africa once did it. You know, they brought a CEO from England. He's the one who put all the basics, the foundation for the Premier Soccer League that we see today. You know, he did so well. He just came and said, I'm going to do this for 5 years, set you up, guys. And he brought in his team and they did that. And the South Africans were supporting him. The president was South African and everybody, but the CEO was from England. And he did exactly that. Look at the South African Premiership now. They are sometimes we need to import skills,
import talent,
import skills, so that we can learn. That's why I was talking about Brito. We need even a few administrators here and there so that we can learn, but not just a foreigner, just with a track record. You know, where we can actually track that he did ABC, so we can learn from them.
Good evening, sports team. You are the best. Wow, guys, you guys are really trying to gas us up today. That's the Mazo Chitambwe in Budirido. He says, Manchester Derby, my prediction, Manchester City 2, Man U 1. That's an interesting scoreline. And considering where the game is being played, Sim,
True. And I think right now, with how both teams have been faring, there are quite a few members of the Manchester United contingent that would probably take that. It's almost damage limitation compared to what other sides are actually looking at. They've started pitting Martinez and Haaland, the different statures and things like that. But if it ends up being that close and the performance is actually something that Ten Hag can build on, I think that would be something that would be acceptable, although we don't want the defeat.
No name on this message, but it says Muswe Sande Patinope is at church service. Haaland Anenga Akanda hat trick. Manchester City 3, Man United 1. Manchester United fans, where are you? Because I'm seeing is score lines that favor Manchester City. United fans are not coming to the party here at all. Message here, no name again. Oh no, it's from Parker. Personally, I feel that the NLD is better than the Manchester Derby. That's the North London Derby. Arsenal and Spurs absolutely hate each other, whilst last season some United fans actually wanted us to win the Premier League. Sean, your thoughts on that one?
Let's talk about it in the beautiful game.
Well said.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport.
right, it's time for the beautiful game. Let's get straight to it. We start with the North London Derby, and then we'll give you the rest of the fixtures. So the Premier League returns following the international break with a blockbuster North London Derby tomorrow afternoon as Arsenal play host to Tottenham Hotspur at the Emirates. And then on Sunday, it'll be the turn of the Manchester Derby. Now, Arsenal, they sit on top of the table unexpectedly after their strong start. And while unbeaten, Tottenham are just 1 point behind in the third place. And before we discuss it among ourselves here, let's hear from both managers, Arsenal's Mikel Arteta and Antonio Conte. But we'll start by hearing from Antonio Conte, and then we'll hear from Mikel Arteta.
At 8 games that we are going to play, we have just started this league. For sure, Arsenal had a fantastic start. They lost only one game against United, and then they are showing to be a really good team. I think that in the summer they made a good sign for them and improved the team. That don't forget, last season in the last three games they were 4 points up than us. It means that we are talking about a really good team, that in the last season we did a really good job to overcome them in the last three games. But at the same time, I know the quality of this team. I know that they are working with Arteta for many years. They are really well organized.
The journey that they had since Antonio joined as well, and how things change, and the team that is building, and a very clear identity that they have in their way of playing. Obviously, it's is really impressive. So we know that I think both teams expect a really tough match tomorrow. I think it's all about emotions and just willingness to get to that moment and have enjoyment. It's the nicest game of the season by a mile for what it means to our supporters, for the history of it, and now as well, because looking at the table and where we both think wants to be becomes a really important match. So I think the world is excited.
Right, so the North London Derby at the Emirates Stadium. Simba, just recently at the Emirates Stadium, the Spurs haven't won there since 2010, and just the fixture in general, the home side seems to win. Will it be the same this time around?
The home side seems to win, and Harry Kane always scores. That's pretty much the summation of it. I think there's a big chance for Spurs because of Kane's form, and also what Son did in the previous matches, although we are not quite sure how the international break may have hampered some of the momentum. But just to answer the question that had been posed in the fan zone in terms of whether this particular derby is bigger than the Manchester derby, I would say situationally right now, yes. Situationally right now, because you've got the team that's at the top and the team that's in the top four. So you want to see that in terms of the form and, you know, momentum. But in terms of pedigree, even when David Moyes was at at Manchester United and we were atrocious, people still tuned in to watch that.
Yeah.
So from that angle, that pedigree seems to always make Manchester United relevant, even when it's woeful. So for that reason, I think that's what just keeps that particular fixture with an edge.
And Alois, we saw that with Arsenal, they were picked off by Manchester United, leaving gaps with their... Even though they do try to press high, sometimes if you don't press high with intensity, you get picked off. And a team that's very good at picking teams off with the press that they have up front with Swan, with Harry Kane, with Richarlison, is Tottenham. So tactically, is it going to be the same story where Arsenal are going to be found wanting on the counter attack?
Yeah, I think they need to press very, very tight. You know, Chelsea did well against Arsenal, I thought, and the tactic was to close down Song, because he is the outlet. Yeah. So when they are pressing, just make sure that someone is sticking on to Song, so that they don't hit you on the counter attack. The other guys, yes, they can, but Song is the very dangerous one when it comes to counter attack. So I think Arteta knows that by now. So they will try to do that, because if they don't press Arsenal, they don't look as good as well, because they want to play more like Manchester City, and they need to press, win the ball, and keep moving. They are not a team that can sit back, because they've got youngsters that have got energy. If they sit back, they're actually allowing Tottenham to come. I still believe that they need to press. All they need to do is to make sure that Spurs don't come out of there
on a counter. They need to press them so that they can come out. At least if they can come slowly on a build-up, it's better for them. They can retreat slowly. But once they let in one pass to go behind them or Song to get hold of it and run with it, because he's the one who can actually run with it. So they need to, that's what they need to stop. For me, I think that's how it's going to work.
Yeah, and Chris, the talk with the Spurs especially has been that of squad rotation, and piggybacking off what Alois says, they've got those two breakers in midfield with Hoybie and Bentancur. Now, if they are to win the ball in deep areas, they are quite capable of hitting those runners.
Yeah.
And some people are saying that maybe Kulusevski may have been a better fit to play this game, but he's not going to be available through injury, and they've got Son. And we saw what Son did in the last game around. So how do you see them breaking apart Arsenal in this game?
It's such a tricky one, and I think it's especially tricky at the moment for Tottenham when you look at the number of players that are missing. You mentioned Kulusevski there. Also taking a look at, for example, the goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris, withdrew from France duty with a thigh injury. Not very sure if he's going to be in that match. Could be a doubt as well. Fraser Forster's on standby. But you know, when you come into these matches, you want your number one goalkeeper, which they don't have access to at the moment. Ben Davis out with the knee injury. Lucas Moura, tendon, fit and available there. So it's going to be an interesting lineup, I think, for Tottenham when they're taking a look at how to break an Arsenal side that, for me, has only been found wanting this season in a couple of games. The rest of the games, I think we've seen good balance in that squad in terms of their defense and their attack. So, fingers crossed. But I think of both teams, Tottenham's got a bit more work to do here.
I don't want to hear any explanation. I just want a prediction. All right, we'll start with you, Simba.
3-2 to the Arsenal.
Okay. Alois?
I'm giving it 2-1 to Arsenal.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Alois, 2-1 to Arsenal.
I actually think it's going to be a 1-0 draw.
1-0 draw? 1-0 draw.
So that's going to be the big game out in the Premier League. Then there's a tiny little game. It's going to be... So two bitter rivals with a taste of victories lock horns in Sunday's Manchester Derby at the Etihad Stadium as Manchester City play host to Man United. And the Red Devils, they've not been in Premier League action since they beat Arsenal 3-1 on the 4th of September. Of course, they had that Europa League tie. And Pep Guardiola, they ran out 3-0 winners in their last game before the international break. Now, football pundit Jason Kandy, now he believes Manchester United have a fair chance of beating Manchester City in the derby.
Man United have got a chance. This is a different Manchester United. Look, City going to overwhelming favourites, understandably so. Yeah, they do. They're at home. But if you look back at the record of late, in the last four or five, and since Pep's been there, Pep's been turned over a couple of times. Ole always used to seem to get the better in at City. It seems to be the other way around. Pep used to turn up at Old Trafford and seem to pick up more points from memory. I think the Manchester United can go into this now feeling that they can actually give Man City a game.
So can they give Manchester City a game, Simba?
Absolutely. Jason points to that era where it was, we couldn't understand how Ole kept doing it.
Yes.
And then it became a bit more apparent that I think it's because City likes to play, like Alois has mentioned, from the back and all of that. Once you hit them on the break, they're not quite quick in terms of recovering and chasing. And one of the guys that kept doing that and successfully so was Marcus Rashford. Marcus Rashford has just recently been named the player of the month. He's got an injury doubt, but if he plays to the same sort of ability that he played under Ole, then yes, that's where the chance then comes in. And then there's the unknown quantity of Antony joining the squad, and still, I know obviously Pep would have done his homework and they've done the video analysis, but it seems as though Manchester United now have a few more pieces of uncertainty, and the bench has also been strengthened. We still have Scott McTominay starting, Casemiro hasn't actually played, so we're not really frightful. Before, it always used to be on our best day, and then you hope for Manchester City to actually play badly. Right now, the chances are much higher, although definitely Manchester City are favourites.
Alois, Manchester City have got that goal-scoring machine, Erling Haaland. And this time, he's going to be up against Lisandro Martinez. And a lot of people have been pointing to the height disparity. But we all will, but there isn't just one defender in the back line.
Thank you.
Rafael Varane could also be providing cover. But how do United deal with Haaland?
I don't know how to deal with Haaland at the moment. You see, the problem with Haaland is that he can come deep. He can get the ball. You can give him a bad ball up in the air. He'll fight for it. He'll get it. You know, you can give him a 50-50 ball. You'll bump your defender off. And you collect it. You cross the ball. He makes those runs, difficult runs to mark. You know he is very cunning. He pretends like he doesn't want. He doesn't want. Then he just takes off. Exactly. So he is dangerous. I don't know. For me, really, I don't know how to do it. Maybe I don't know. Maybe if there were there somebody like Dumisani Mpofu somewhere there who can just to man mark. I think that's the only way to do it. You know, to just disturb him. If you're trying to run, frustrate him, pull his jersey when the referee is not. I don't know what you need to play dirty. I think they need to play dirty on him. Dirty not as in kicking him, but to just frustrate him. You know, just making sure he doesn't get the ball. Some people will say, "I don't let close the supply line." People think there is only De Bruyne. There are too many supply lines there from Man City. It's difficult. But for me, what I would want to see is him. Okay, him. He's my fantasy captain as well. So, well, I wouldn't mind him scoring a hat. So I want Manchester United to go out and score, to go all out and score goals. Maybe win 4-2 or 4-3 or something. He can score the two goals, but Manchester United still wins the match.
Okay. Chris, I know that you're a Manchester United fan, but put your Manchester City.
I'm a Crystal Palace fan, thank you very much.
Okay.
If you're putting your Manchester City pundit hat on, they've showed some defensive.
Frailty.
Yes, we'll use that word. And but they're welcoming back Emerick Laporte.
Yeah.
But we also understand that John Stones could be missing in this game. So, defensively, with those weaknesses, how do you see this one then panning out with a team that has certainly looked like it can pick you off on the counter-attack with the form that Sancho and Rashford have been in lately?
I think Sancho and Rashford's form is one thing. But I think what we'll always see from Manchester City... No, but we see it when it's not a derby. I think when it comes to the Manchester derby, everything just kind of gets thrown up in the air because we've seen those defensive frailties, especially in these derbies, whether it's this season, previous season, when they've got all of their best defensive players, when they're all fit and healthy. We've seen the frailties, and I think it is that counter-attack that we talked about. I think we talked about it with Arsenal, but I think Manchester United, the way they've been playing recently, it's truthfully a bit of Ole ball, just polished up. It looks much, much better, and we do play on the counter. So I think that might disturb Manchester City a little bit, and without their best defensive pairing, it might look a little bit shaky for them, and I think that's the opportunity for Manchester United. I don't think that when you're taking a look at this matchup that there's any other sort of weaknesses that we can really take a look at when it comes to City.
So basically Ole was not that bad, yeah?
You know, just derby, needed to polish. In the derby, yes.
In the derby.
Then you played the other
team.
We're running out of time, so quickly, I need your predictions before we head out. Alois.
2-1 to Manchester United.
Chris.
This is my heart.
2-1 City.
Simba?
3-2 City.
Alright. That's very interesting. And your rest of your Premier League.
Hey. Yeah. Nice try.
I'm going to go for a 3-1 win for Manchester City. Alright, on your rest of your Premier League fixtures, Bournemouth will be taking on Brentford, Crystal Palace face Chelsea. This will be Graham Potter's first game for Chelsea in the Premier League. Fulham against Newcastle United, Brighton will be away at Liverpool, Southampton against Everton, West Ham versus Wolves, Leeds against Aston Villa, and then of course the two derbies, the Arsenal versus Tottenham in the North London Derby, and then the Manchester City and Manchester United at the Etihad in the Manchester Derby. Your key games out of Serie A, it's Napoli against Torino, Empoli versus AC Milan, Atalanta versus Fiorentina, Juventus versus Bologna. I'll come back to the last big one because I want to get your thoughts on that quickly. But in the Bundesliga, it's Eintracht Frankfurt versus Union Berlin. RB Leipzig will take on
Bochum, Borussia Dortmund will be away at Köln, and Bayern Munich versus Bayer Leverkusen get the action started tonight. In La Liga, Real Madrid taking on a surprise team of the season, Osasuna, were currently fifth. Sevilla against Atletico Madrid, Barcelona will be away at Mallorca, and then Espanyol against Valencia. Inter versus Roma will be the other standout fixture across all European leagues. Simba, how do you see this one panning out? Inter Milan stuttering a little bit and Roma wanting to make a shake of it this season.
The tightest league in all of the top five leagues. I think this is going to be a draw.
All right. We'll leave it there. Just like that, we'll run out of time. It's actually 7 o'clock and we should be out of here. We'll be back on Monday for ZFM Sport on a Monday. Don't miss it. For now, have a pleasant evening.
And it's Messi. It is the cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behaviour.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world, and any pitch in the world, in front of any player in the world, and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Mundell, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.